Hello and welcome to the Two Dyspraxics. I'm Matthew Munson.
And I'm Barbara Neal. Life in lockdown. How can we sum this up, I wonder? Probably summing it up is probably a bit premature. I think we've probably got quite a lot we want to say about life in lockdown. Have you, for example, had any celebrations during lockdown?
Well, funny enough, yes. I've had one. My birthday's in June, so I had a lockdown birthday last June. Although, interestingly, some of lockdown was last June, before it then tightened up again. I don't remember doing much for my birthday last year. The year before, gone down to Curzon Abbey, as indeed you remember, you were there. But last year, we didn't really do much. Brian, my son's had two birthdays in lockdown now. Almost lockdown, because his birthday's March. So his birthday in 2020 was literally a week before lockdown started, just as the announcement came out to limit social contact. And then he's just had, literally last week, he's had his second birthday in lockdown. And he's really disappointed because he wanted a pool party. He wanted to go to the local swimming pool with half a dozen of his mates and have a pool party. Unfortunately, that never happened, and we had to do other things instead. You know, I'm in a bubble with my parents, so that was something. But yeah, so that was significant. You're a January birthday, aren't you?
Yeah, and well, I feel quite sorry for Jim actually, because he celebrated his 30th last year, and that was just at the beginning of lockdown. So,
oh wow.
Can't get any beers anywhere. He was upset about that. And my birthday this year is, well, it has become a milestone, because I'm sure you know that I was born in the 1950s. So I'm one of those women, one of 3.8 million women who reached my 60th birthday to discover that actually I couldn't get my pension at the age of 60, which is,
of course, you're a washy woman, aren't you?
Exactly. So I had to wait another 6 years. So I belong to various pension groups on Facebook, and now we're saying, yes, I've done it, I'm 66 today, you know, at last, you know, all this kind of thing. So 66 has become a milestone. And so I wanted to celebrate for about a month, I think, you know, when I got mine. And but it was in January, so it was during lockdown. So we bought tickets to go and see a play in Canterbury, and that obviously has been put back. So we're still going to see it, but it's going to happen in April now instead of in April. So I haven't actually seen Mark, my partner, for a long time now.
But, oh my God, really?
But we do FaceTime every day, because it was quite weird actually. The first lockdown, we just stayed here, you know, and he stayed at home, because we live, actually, I'm not sure how many miles away it is, about 10, 11 miles apart, something like that. I'm not sure. But, and then when we had the second lockdown, we were allowed to have a bubble. So he was, because he lives alone, he was in our support bubble. But then with this third lockdown, they've tightened up on that and said your bubble must only include people who live in the same village, the same town, or the same city. So that really scuppered that. So we're FaceTiming every day, which is nearly as good.
You know, I didn't realise that the rules have been tightened up so much on this one.
Yeah, because we checked into it just to see what we were allowed to do and what we weren't allowed to do and so on. But for my birthday, I was still determined to celebrate it. So I planned in advance that I was going to watch, and Mark as well, you know, he said that he'd watch it too on YouTube, a concert. It was actually Led Zeppelin at Nebworth in 1979. I was there.
It was really?
4th of August 1979. And it was there on YouTube. So I said, do you know what? I really look forward to doing that. So I planned it about a couple of weeks or so in advance. And so it was something I was really champing at the bit. I know theoretically I could have watched it any time I wanted, but I wanted to make it into an occasion.
Yeah.
Worked, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So I had a fantastic birthday, even though, he watched it over at his and I watched it at mine. So there are some things during lockdown that haven't been too bad. I think it just depends on how we approach it. And there was a I bought a ticket. This was unfortunate too, because I bought it when to see. Have you heard of Seth Lakeman? Do you know Seth Lakeman?
Yes.
Is
He rings a bell.
he's an amazing multi-instrumentalist and singer-songwriter, but he's a fantastic fiddle player. Really good.
Okay.
And so we've seen him live a couple of times now, and but he did an online concert, so it was actually set up as an online concert with band, and you could buy tickets for it. And obviously the tickets weren't exactly cheap, because you could theoretically have about half a dozen people watching the same TV, so my plan at the time was, well, I'll be over at Mark's and we'll watch it there. So shelled out for one of these tickets, and then lockdown happened, the third lockdown, and I wasn't over Mark, so I got to see the concert and he didn't.
Oh,
So I
for
shouldn't
God's
laugh.
sake.
I shouldn't laugh, should I? It's not funny. And no, it's not actually, because I was really sad.
Yeah.
I know he would have really enjoyed it, but we plan to go to a festival that should hopefully be taking place this year, and he's appearing there, so we'll get to see him then together, which would be nice.
But I think that's the thing. It's I think we've all probably experienced that sense of kind of disappointment that we can't. And it's the little things, isn't it? I think everyone I've spoken to have all said it's the little things. Going out for a coffee somewhere, just down into town, or having lunch somewhere for a birthday, or I don't know, whatever it might be. Brian, my son, his was he's got he's loves panto. He loves going to see a panto. He got into it 2 years ago, and last year he wanted to go and see two pantos. There were two pantos he'd seen. He was like, "Daddy, please can we go? Please can we go? Please can we go?" But of course, we couldn't see any.
Of course, yeah.
And he was I you wouldn't think it would upset him, but he was gutted that. That little thing that he wanted to do, he just couldn't do it, and I really felt for him.
That must be hard, I think, for children. It's not, I think, depending very much on people's circumstances, but from our point of view as adults, I think we've been quite inventive, and I've turned into, I haven't turned it, I was going to say I've turned into a lazy slob. That's not true. But I do have days where I just feel like being a lazy slob, and I like it, because there's other days when I'm still doing plenty. And in actual fact, during the course of the lockdown, I had a job interview online. I've got the job online and I've been working on that. So, because I retired as a hypnotherapist, when I got to 66, I thought, Dad, maybe I'm retiring now, so I did that. But last May, I wasn't even looking for a job actually, but I saw the co-op were advertising for member pioneers. And it's basically a case of being involved in your local community and bringing good causes together and helping volunteers to find causes and vice versa. So it's just basically linking people in the local community, and I really liked the look of that. 4 hours a week, so it's something I knew I'd be able to do, continue when I've retired. So I applied for it, and fortunately got the job. So I love it; it's just fantastic. But I'm looking forward to restrictions being lifted, so I can get out and actually start meeting people again, rather than everything via email and Zoom and what have you.
Well, I think that's the thing as well. It's because funnily enough, last year I left my I resigned from my job without having another job to go to, because I was really struggling with just kind of my mental health, trying to be a good parent to my son, trying to do a good job. Something kind of had to give, and I ended up just quitting my job. For better or worse, it was the right thing to for my mental health. But then I got offered another role for literally for sort of similar thing to you, hours that suited me. So I had like originally 8, it went up to 12 hours a week, which was great. And that really kind of it felt like a new niche for me, you know. But of course, the other thing with that is I've worked almost entirely from home
Yeah.
during that process. I think I've been into the office because it's over in Ashford. So from where I am to Ashford, it's about 45 minutes on the train, and then about 20 minutes on the bus once I get there. So I've been into the office maybe two or th no, 3 times. I've been to the office 3 times since last August, since I started it, and it's now what, March the following year. So that's why I can't remember, oh, my maths. Oh, I can't remember, well, whatever it is, 8 months, 9 months, whatever it is. And I do miss that interaction of just being around people, you know. I'm relatively introverted, but just knowing that there are other people around, you know, is nice sometimes when you're working. And I've missed that more than I thought I would. That's and the structure and the routine of it.
So when the lockdown is finally lifted, do you think that you'll continue working mainly from home, or will you be spending more time, or will it be some of each?
I think it'll be probably a combination of each, to be honest. Only because Ashford is such a way to go, you know. And because I only work 12 hours, I think, you know, I'll probably do maybe a day every other week in the office, so that I can see people, stay in touch more easily. You know, at that point, Brian can go to my mum and dad's after school, or he can have an after go stay for an after school activity. Because they'll be up and running again then, so he won't mind. He won't notice I'm even gone, to be honest. You know, from that point of view, and he'll be glad of it because it means he gets something else to do rather than just be with me, you know, all the time. Which for any child must get boring to be with their parents 24/7. And actually, I think that'll be very healthy for both of us. But yeah, I really want to just do those little simple things like going. I've got to go into the office next week actually for a morning. I've got a new laptop because my last one's died, so I'm going to pick up a new laptop, and I'm inordinately excited about going to the office to work. You know, more than you would think. More than you would think. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to the office. I'm going to see everyone. Oh, he's brilliant. You know, it's daft, but it's just having adult conversation with people.
I think it's in some ways this lockdown, or the whole, not just this lockdown, but I mean all three, you know, since the whole thing started, it has changed our opinions on certain things, you know, and it has helped us to appreciate things perhaps more than we might have done otherwise. And but it has advantages as well, I think, because it's got us into getting used to working remotely, which isn't always a bad thing, because as you probably know, I belong to a writers group, and we used to meet up in a hotel locally, but now we've been Zooming, you know, for the past year. We've still been continuing to meet up weekly, but via Zoom, and it worked so well that we've got there's one of us lives in Tunbridge Wells. We're called Maidstone Writers, but we don't all live in Maidstone. One of us has also recently moved up to Shropshire, but she can still be a member of the group, you know, because Zoom, it doesn't matter where you are. So been really helpful in that respect. So whether, well, I suppose the group as it stands at the moment, we can't go back to meeting in person unless there's only some of us there.
And that's the thing. Almost, how do you choose who's allowed to come into the group? Yeah, at least for the foreseeable, until all the restrictions are lifted. By doing it online, everyone is equal
Yeah,
from that
exactly.
point of view. I mean, I was saying to someone the other week, you know, what would it have been like if we'd have had this 20 years ago?
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? Without Zoom, without all the, I mean, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation for a podcast. You know, it just wouldn't exist.
Well, you wouldn't know each other, would we, for a start,
Well,
you know?
yeah, you're right. But yeah, actually, Bob, that's a very fair point. Yeah, of course, because we met through a Facebook group that we're both part of. Yeah, that's a very fair point. Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the lockdown, I must admit, at the beginning of the first lockdown, I kind of embraced it, you know, and I thought, oh, this is good. There are London shows that were on YouTube, you know, they were sort of broadcasting the shows on YouTube. And so there were things, because I'm not exactly a great fan of musicals. I like to go and see a play, but I'm not so big on musicals. I thought, dang a bit, you know, I'm going to watch these musicals because so I watched Phantom of the Opera when it was broadcast, and I watched, oh, was it Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, because they were putting them all out. So yeah, I'll watch them now, you know, because I can, you know. It was a bit like that, you know, I was sort of trying out new things in a way, really, because of them, not in spite of it.
I think that's the thing. I think that I can really remember that in that first lockdown, there was a real sense of togetherness.
Yeah.
All these community groups were being set up to help the vulnerable, the isolated. People were really concerned about other people's, mental well-being and general health. And there was a very different. I think we saw the best of people for in those early days. But I think in this third lockdown, I think people are tired, people are weary,
Yes.
and I think we hear less of it now. The community groups are still there, but we don't hear about it in the news much because it's either become old hat or people are just going, "I'm struggling. I can't do the things I used to do."
Yeah, I agree. I think there was a fantastic kind of like wartime spirit almost at the beginning of the first one. And there were even things like one of my friends said, "Well, this is something that a recipe that you can make with potato skins, you know, things like that." So we were being very frugal, and I mean, obviously nobody could get toilet rolls or pasta, which never makes sense to me. You know, why toilet rolls and pasta? I
Well, yeah.
mean,
Right, yeah, you think well, to this day, I don't know why people panic bought because it's not like the supply chain was broken. Did the essentials were still getting to the shops. People were just panicking.
yeah, and on the subject of essentials, essential workers as well, because Jim, my son, works in a school, local school, and unfortunately, his colleagues, three of his colleagues, tested positive for COVID. Next thing we knew, Jim wasn't very well. He had COVID, so that was quite an interesting experience. He was banished to his bedroom, which he did refer to as his cell. Going to my cell, you know, if he'd been into the bathroom. And so we got, you know, we made sure that we got things like disposable gloves and two lots of wipes. They were the ones that were sort of food safe, you know, Milton wipes and antibacterial wipes for wiping handles and things like that. So he had a supply of them. We had a supply in the rest of the house, and just holding door handles with wipes and that sort of thing. So it was an interesting experience, and he wasn't very well, obviously, for a while, but he's fine now, I'm pleased to say. He's
I
up.
said, was anyone else impacted with that in your household at the time?
No,
Oh, that's.
we did tests, and it's just my mum and me in the house, so we did a test. We were both negative. Richard isn't here because he was had the good fortune, I suppose, to be in Norwich with his girlfriend when lockdown started.
Oh, I remember you saying yes.
We've not seen him for ages.
Oh, and I see that. I think things like that must be tough, where families, because of the distance involved, you can't go and visit each other, or you can't pop in and just say hi and give each other a hug.
Exactly.
I think that's hard.
And having just had Mother's Day as well, so I had a message from Richard, and I had a card from Jim, and Rob and Amber, Rob, my eldest son, who lives just a couple of miles away, they came over and rang the doorbell. So I opened the front door, and there's my present and card on the doormat, and they're standing at a distance, you know. And so we had a conversation, so I did get to see them, but which, I mean, getting a hug from Rob is like getting blood out of a stone anyway, so I always make a beeline for him. But no, I couldn't this time. But no, I think you're right though about the community spirit, without a shadow of doubt. And there is something that we've done locally. It wasn't because of the lockdown, but it came into its own because of the lockdown. We had a tragic event in our road, which brought a lot of us together, and there were neighbours who had never met, prior to the fact that some of them had been living in the road for 2 years, and we didn't know each other's names and that kind of thing. So last February, no, not last February, not last month, but February last year, we had a get together for people in the road just so we could get to know each other a bit better. And that went down very well. And then we decided to set up a WhatsApp group. And so it's not everyone in the road because the road's quite sort of long and rambly, as you know. And so it was just our kind of corner, just a few of us. And that has just really come into its own during lockdown because when no one was going to the shops, apart from just the odd one or two, we would get shopping for each other. Anyone who's self-isolating, they're not actually isolated. And even now, there's a lady who lives near me, and she sends me a via WhatsApp, she sends me a good morning message, usually with flowers and things, so, and she lives alone, so it's really handy for people like that who live alone, and we have that contact now without actually having to go and go and knock on the door. But we've helped each other out with when Jim was struggling and he needed some painkillers and didn't have any, and the chemist was closed and so on. And so there was a neighbour who said, "Well, I've got some, you can come and get them from me." And they've been swapping jigsaw puzzles and things like
Oh, I
that.
like it. I
So
like
it's
it.
just a small group, but
Yeah.
it
Well,
positive.
funny if you say that. It's the same thing, 'cause I've got amazing. I live in a block of flats here, and over the last year, I've really got to know my neighbours. I mean, I've lived here for what, 3? Yeah, 3 years. I've lived here now 3 years this month, actually. And yeah, it's only in the last year I've probably really properly got to know my neighbours, and they've actually become friends. My Brian, my son, and a couple other kids in the block play together out in the courtyard that we've got. We got a garden and stuff. We've got a courtyard, and they'll play out in the courtyard, as a little group. And it's lovely. And actually, I know that if there was an emergency, one of my neighbours would help. They'd go, "All right, we're always texting each other. All right, I'm going to Tesco today. See, we need anything. I'm going to Asda today. See, we need anything. I'm going to a pharmacy. I'm popping over the road to the local shop. Can I pick anything up for anyone?" It was just little things like that, and just to know that someone was thinking of you to help with those little practicalities. It was something I'd not kind of experienced before, in that kind of that wartime spirit, as you say, in that way. And it was, I thought, oh my God, you do get to see that best of people, even though it's then still very difficult and emotionally hard when you can't see your friends and your family, and you can't travel to places because you're having to just stay indoors, and see your children not being able to see their friends.
That must be really tough, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think, like you
But
said, I
with
think the kids, we can be creative to a degree because we can do WhatsApp, we can do things like that. But for kids, it's we are their world. In that sense, we're doing that lockdown, and if they can't see their mates, that's really, really tough. I remember Brian going back to school in September last year, and he was now Brian loves school. He it's as much as I can do to get a goodbye from him in the mornings when he goes into school. He just gates open and he's there, he's off. But last September, when he was going back, he was really anxious in the couple of days leading up to it because he hadn't been there for, what, I think about 6 months in total, but they hadn't actually been inside the school gate. So he was really, really anxious. Was he going to do good? What was he going to be left behind? Was he going to be the odd one out? Were people going to laugh at him? Was he going to be stupid? Was he, et cetera, et cetera, all these kind of things. And of course he wasn't. It was fine because the school did a brilliant job and they all did it collectively. But there were a lot, and Brian's comparatively settled and well adjusted and all that. Some kids who both felt more anxious. I can't imagine what it must have been like for them. I really can't.
yeah, there's something that a friend of mine brought up actually, that her granddaughter is very small and her daughter's putting the child's name down for nursery. And so she had a questionnaire to complete, and she's got an older brother, this little girl, who's, I think he's only about five, 4 or 5, so he's not that much older, but she when her mother was filling in the form, there were things like a questionnaire, and there were things like how is she with strangers, and does she socialize? And she said, I don't know. I don't know these things about my own child because she hasn't had the opportunity to socialize. She can't mix with other kids at the moment, because we're in lockdown.
Yeah,
So
and actually, probably those things that she would have probably started to observe about her daughter and start to be able to be an even better parent than she probably already is. She probably is a good parent to be able to go, oh, well, I know my daughter's strengths and weaknesses, and I can help guide her. As you say, to have to say, I don't know that about your own child must be
yeah.
really hard.
I know that's something that hadn't really occurred
No,
to
fair
me, that there
point.
was a generation of children who are going to find socializing a struggle, probably.
I mean, that's it. Yeah, I mean, but Brian's the only, well, for us, it's I'm a single parent, he's a single child with me, so it's just us two. And then, of course, you've got that situation. He's got his brother and sister live further along the south coast, so we used to FaceTime them regularly, and that was all fine. So he was getting some social contact with kids, but that was kind of it. I wouldn't let him sit in front of a computer screen all day. We were out, we were doing things, we were being active, in our minds and imaginative play and all this kind of thing. But I know some of his friends, he said, all they said they did was sit in front of their computer screen all day, and no wonder they felt anxious going back to school because they'd had even less interaction probably than Brian had, that must be tough for them.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think the lockdown, generally speaking, has had some positives as well as negatives. I think we can take positives from it. I mean, I think the whole attitude towards people working from home, for example, must have changed by now because, Rob, my eldest son, works from home anyway. He's based at home, so he was used to it. So nothing's really changed for him. But his partner, Amber, is also working from home at the moment. So they're sharing their office, their home office, So he said that he's had to move up a bit so that she can join in, because she's working from home as well. So, but I think before that, there was a general feeling from some employers that working from home meant skiving, and
Oh,
that's not
absolutely. Yeah,
not
it was very frowned upon, wasn't it? It was for a lot of people. Yeah, but I think the technology has been there for a while. Zoom, Microsoft Teams, and all these other things that we hear about, but we didn't really understand. None of us really ever used them. You and I have sort of in the past, kind of, we chat over Facebook Messenger or something like that. I'd never heard of Zoom before. We'd never set up Zoom chats before because we didn't know it was there. Actually, I think
Exactly.
we've kind of proved that the infrastructure is there, that we can do it. I don't think offices will be the same again. I really don't.
No, I think it's all changed. And another thing, on a rather different note, that's changed here in our home in the West Wing of Dyspraxic
Indeed.
Towers. Is we've got two garden benches, and they were both in the back garden. We've moved one round to the front now because during the first lockdown, we'd go and sit out there and have a cup of coffee, my mother and me, and then we could wave to people from
That's
different
lovely.
places, things like that, which is rather nice. So, on ending on a happy, lighter note of lockdown, because it hasn't all been bad, I don't think.
I agree.
I think there's been bad. So to end on a happy, lighter note, that's it really for today, I think.
I think so. I think so. I think, we're in a it's a good place. We've hopefully this last year's taught us a lot of good things. Let's say it like
I think this. So on those wise words of yours, it's
that.
time to laugh just because I pay you a
Yeah,
compliment.
sorry. Still to my tip reaction. I'm waiting for the jokes to come afterwards.
There's no joke, because I've been. I don't know. It makes me wonder why I bother phoning you.
As always, Barbara, you are a wonderful friend.
Bless you. Now I'm waiting for the
I shouldn't have laughed as soon as I said that. I shouldn't have laughed.
No, that's true. You didn't have to laugh, but still, I'll let you off with
Thank
that
you.
one. on that happy,
Bye-bye.
cheerful, jolly note, we'll say cheerio then and look forward to the next
The
one.
next one, definitely.
So it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from her.
Bye.
Bye.